Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the Word, who leads us to real truth, and who as our Savior gives us real freedom, dear fellow redeemed, you will not surely die. Some 6,000 years ago, the devil said those words to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And ever since, Satan's language has been the same. Lie after lie after lie. Sometimes he shouts it. Sometimes he whispers it to us. Sometimes he speaks in such a low, monotone voice that we don't even realize the danger and the evil that's in that lie. He's always telling us lies. He says, "You're your own boss. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. You can have it all. You're the greatest. You're worthless. No one loves me. No one loves you. That's unforgivable." That's not really God's words. That's just an old custom. You got to be good enough. And that's just a short list of all the lies that Satan throws at us every single day of our life. We live in a world where the devil's dialect is spoken all around us. And that's why we need to turn to the one who gives the truth. In fact, turn to the one who is truth. And so for these next 6 Sundays in Lent, we'll be walking with Jesus, and we're going to see Jesus as he suffers, as he dies, as he rises again. But especially we're going to be listening to Jesus speak to us truth with these words, "Most assuredly I say to you." Those of us who were raised on the King James, remember as, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." Modern translation says, "I tell you the truth." And so that's our 6-week theme. "I tell you the truth," Jesus says. And he's going to tell us 6 important truths. This morning, "I tell you the truth, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin." 2 points. Truth is, we were slaves to sin. Second point, truth is, we've been freed from sin. Now, the truth is not always what we want to hear. For example, we don't really want to be told that those jeans make us look fat. We really don't want to be told by our parents that girlfriend and boyfriend of yours is not a good influence, so don't be around them. We don't really want to be told the truth by our boss, "You made a mistake." We don't want to really hear the truth saying by our teacher saying, "You failed." Too often, truth is more about what we want it to be rather than what it really is. Maybe that explains why, reading this text, we might have had a little defensive thought when Jesus says to us, "I tell you the truth, whoever commits sin, a sin, is a slave to sin." Now, I understand I sin. I know that. I admit that. But as soon as Jesus says, "Pastor Berenthal, you're a slave to sin," I feel like I'm helpless. I feel like I got no control over my life then. But it's the truth, isn't it? Frederick Douglass, a freed slave, who was also an abolitionist, once wrote, "I didn't know I was a slave until I found out I couldn't do the things I wanted to do." As Christians, what do we want to do? We want to serve Jesus. We want to keep his commandments. We don't want to sin. Can you stop not sinning? Nope. Because we're slaves to sin. We may live in a land of the free, but we're all slaves to sin. We're all enslaved because, from conception, because of our sinful heart. Sin is not just doing something wrong. Sin is a wrong condition of our heart. It's an evil in our heart that enslaves every single one of us. Okay, so I know I'm a slave to sin. So now what? Do we sometimes think, yeah, but so is everybody else. Who cares? Everybody sins. I still know Jesus loves me. I still know that Jesus died for me. So what's the big deal if I'm a slave to sin? You hear that voice? That voice is Satan dripping his lies off his tongue to make you feel that way. Okay, so I know. Sin is really a big deal. It's very, very serious. And I am sorry for my sins. But what about all the good things that I do? How can I be a slave to sin when I come to church? When I preach the word of God? When we give offerings, say our prayers, love our parents, love our children, love our brothers and sisters, love other people, and do such good things? Why does God tell me so often about the bad things I do? Why doesn't he come about the good things I do? Hear that voice? That's also Satan, trying to fill our hearts and our thoughts with a confidence in our own works. And that's what many of the Jews of Jesus' day did. They trusted in their merits, their tithing, their sacrifices, their ceremonies, their fasting. They trusted in the fact that they were children of Abraham. They trusted in their ancestry. But our works, no matter how good they may look according to the world scale, can't balance off even one little sinful thought. So what's our status as slaves to sin? Jesus tells us, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. In very clear terms, Jesus is warning that a slave has no room reserved in heaven. Sin is a big deal. I'll never forget early in our ministry, Ruth was teaching Sunday school, and it was in our house in the front room. Little kids, probably second, third, fourth grade. She was telling them what sin is, and is doing bad things. Is, have you all done bad things? The little boy said, yeah. But then he finally said, but I sure ain't no sinner. Another example, if I would say right now, how many of you sin? I am confident that we'd all raise our hands 100%. But then if I say, how many of you sin to the level that you deserve God's wrath and damnation, eternal death and hell? How many of us would just start to, maybe, start to take our hands down? We can handle the truth that we've sinned through personal experience. We're accustomed to that. We see it in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. But being told by Jesus that we're a damned sinner, that we're slaves to sin, that we deserve God's wrath, God's condemnation, only everlasting death in hell, that is a little bit harder to swallow. But beautifully, that's what Lent is all about. Leading us to come to grips with what God said to Adam and Eve when they had fallen to sin. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. As slaves to sin, we deserve death. As slaves to sin, we deserve damnation in hell. But there is another truth that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and you bruise, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So my fellow slaves, the key to freedom from sin, death, and hell is knowing the one who has the key to release us, to set us free, and that's Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, has paid for our debt of our sins, and God the Father has declared us all to be free. In our text, Jesus says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And also he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This teaching, not any other teaching, but this teaching, this truth of Jesus, is the key that Jesus uses to unlock the shackles of every single one of our sins. This teaching, this truth, shows us a Jesus who doesn't give us a list of do's and don'ts. Okay, now you keep all of those, and then if you keep them perfectly, you'll get to heaven. Now this truth shows a Jesus who says, "Here's a list of do's and don'ts, and I've kept every single one of them for you." This truth, this teaching shows us Jesus who didn't just say, "Oh, I'm really sorry to see you getting beaten and whipped by that tax master of sin." No, he takes our place and is beaten and whipped because of our sins. This teaching, this truth shows us Jesus who went to the cross to suffer and die and pay for my guilt and your guilt and the guilt of every single person. And then he broke death's hold on him, came back to life, and declared to us, signed and sealed, an emancipation proclamation. We are free. Free from the guilt and the punishment of all of our sins. Not only are we free from the shackles of sin and the slavery to the law, with all of its condemnation and all of its demands and all of its curses, we're also now set free to serve God and free to love each other. And by nature, that is something that is just completely not natural. My sinful flesh wants to serve one person, me. My sinful nature craves things like sexual immorality, discord, hatred, grenvy, getting envy, and greed, likes to hear lies, likes to tell lies, and on and on. But since Christ has created faith in my heart and your heart, we now have a new man, a new self, a freed self, a spiritual nature that is equipped and motivated to want to live a life that is free from the shackles of sin. And so we're now free. Free to be slaves to others. Free to be slaves to Jesus. Free to carry other people's burdens as Jesus carried ours. Free to forgive others as Jesus forgave us. Free to spend our time for others as Jesus spent his time for us. Free to live in the truth of Jesus' word. A few decades after Jesus had this discussion concerning freedom to these Jews in our text, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write on the same subject of freedom, this time to a Christian congregation in Galatia. And Paul wrote, "Stand fast." That means immovable, steadfast. "Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And a little later in that same chapter, Paul writes and tells us what freedom looks like in our life. He says, we live in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It's true. We all were once slaves of sin. And our old Adam remains a slave and will continue to be a slave until we die. But now the Holy Spirit has created faith in our hearts And sin has no power over us anymore when we're in Christ Jesus. Sin is no longer our master, for the Son has set us free. We're free to live to Jesus and for him today, and we're free to live with Jesus forever. So when Jesus says, because of what I have done for you, you will not surely die, that's the truth. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.